Huge show today on Grant and Danny. The NFL draft's coming to the nation's capital. It'll be on the mall in 2027. Toby with the latest every half hour on that via the updates. We'll get back into it on the show in a bit. Caps and Canes kicking off their playoff series at Capital One Arena tomorrow night, 7 p.m. puck drop. Home games Tuesday and Thursday. We're doing live shows at City Tap House, Penn Quarter, before each of those two games. So come on out and pregame with us. Just a few blocks away from the arena. Rock your red. Going to be cool. We'll be giving some things away. Come hang with Grant and Danny ahead of those games.
This radio program right here, we're exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morot, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Danny, how should I do that? I'm always so weird about that. Like when we do taped reads or when we're promoting something, come hang with Grant and Danny. But I'm Grant, and now I'm going full Ricky Henderson third person. We're talking about the show. So if the show name was The Junks or Junks Radio or whatever, the Sports Junkies, I could say that and it's not weird.
Because let's say the two of us were called, I'm making up a show name, The Sports Reporters. Right?
Wacky.
Let's come hang out with the Sports Reporters.
Andy Pullen and Steve Zabin.
Yeah, style. Come hang out with but it's not. It's us. It's our names. So come hang out with us.
I'll never know how to do it. It's always going to feel weird every time I say it.
Yeah, like when we say it in a promo, like if Big Voice Guy says it in a promo, say Grant and Danny. That's who you're talking about.
Right.
We're talking about ourselves. I don't know what to do.
We're covering the Caps and the Canes, though, today and every day this week. Our coverage is brought to you by Ace Trim Carpentry. For a quarter century, Ace Trim has been a trusted trade partner for new home builders in the DMV. They specialize in full-service interior trim carpentry, handling everything from supply to installation, turnkey and hassle-free. Contact acetrim.com today. That's Ace Trim, the home builder's trade partner. So I've got a buddy who does radio in Carolina, and I told you that I went on his show with him last week. And it started with me being kind of press box pulsing, breaking things down.
11 minutes of pleasantries, and then it turned nasty.
And suddenly, the Brandon Duhaime sweater that I was wearing just kind of took over, and I had unleashed the fury a little bit. But I felt bad about it. I sent an apology text, and I invited him on our show to build a bridge here. My guy, Adam Gold, of the Adam Gold Show in North Carolina. What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Hope you guys are. I can't wait. We should have started this yesterday.
That's true. It's ridiculous that this series hasn't started. You guys clinched on Tuesday.
It's a week.
Right.
We clinched on Wednesday, and we didn't even know when game one was going to be played until Saturday night. We're waiting for the Western Conference for some reason. It's preposterous.
I just assumed that the NHL was going to wait to see if there was a game seven and that we would be the prelim to the game seven. But then when we found it out, they were like, no, you guys will start Tuesday. Like, wait a second, why did we have to wait? If you knew what was going to happen, anyways, the whole thing was dumb. They would have started Florida and Toronto yesterday, I assume, because that's the more high-profile series, the defending champs and Toronto. I mean, only Washington and Carolina care about our series.
And yet, here we are, waiting one more day for a Tuesday start. I remember right after the Caps clinched on Wednesday night, texting and talking to people, and they said, well, there's a small chance it could be Saturday, but probably Sunday, I guess, worst case Monday. And now it's Monday, and we're talking about tomorrow's game one. But I will say this. Caps fans feel like the break can't hurt you. They've got a veteran team, whether it's Alexi Protas, who's overcoming injury, or Logan Thompson, who's banged up. I think something's going on with John Carlson, although they haven't said that. It can't hurt this time of year. Is that kind of the feeling for Carolina as well? I know Frederik Andersen was back on the ice over the weekend.
Yeah, my guess is that Freddie Anderson might have been able to play in game five if they had to, but Rod had kind of alluded to the fact that they were targeting game five for Piotr anyway. I don't know what to make of it. Freddie's made of glass. If you get too close to him, he might fall off the table and shatter, but he certainly played well. I think Carolina was fine with the rest. They said, look, it's the same for both teams. Nobody can complain about rust in game one. You're either ready or you're not ready, and you know the layoff won't really have anything to do with it.
Why do you think Carolina is so heavily favored in sportsbooks?
Other than being obviously better than Washington? I honestly don't know. I've joked about it all year because, like, they've been the betting, you know, near the betting favorites for the Cup. And I'm like, wait, I watch this team every day. They're not nearly as good as you think. Now, they're good. They're obviously good. But the Vegas line relies a lot on advanced metrics, and those things just look at Carolina in a very favorable light. It's a lot about shot attempts and, you know, shot suppression. Carolina, if you believe in things like Corsi, which are shot attempts, Carolina's usually near the best in the league at attempts and the best in fewest attempts allowed. And theoretically, that should lead to goals. I would point out that prior to Rod Brind'Amour, they were really good in those two categories too and didn't make the playoffs for 9 years. So I think it's more than that. But, I mean, Carolina's also been, like, I think if you did the records over the last 7 years, they're like the third best team in the entire NHL based on regular season record. And there is something to be said for making the second round of the playoffs the last 5 years.
So you mentioned that they're considerably better than Washington.
Well, yes.
What metrics are you using? Because they were 12 points. We just played a regular season.
Come on. You guys are better. You couldn't hear the sarcasm there?
Okay. No, I couldn't, actually.
I thought you were just trying to return serve to how unprofessional Grant was, Adam.
I thought you were just trying to troll me back.
I have material planned. Don't worry about it.
Okay, you'll get to your material. Good.
Okay.
So, my follow-up was...
I think there's very little to choose between these two teams.
I agree. I mean, you look at it, like, Washington scored more goals, allowed fewer goals, had more points, but I actually think the Hurricanes should be the minimal favorites, and it's based on what you just referenced, which is recent postseason track record. I just think that they match up better with Washington. Like, I worry more about Carolina, frankly, Adam, than I do Florida. Which isn't to say that any team couldn't eliminate the Caps, as I always say on the show all the time. Hockey's I stole this from my guy Tarik El-Bashir, but it's a silly game played on ice. Like, you could have been run by the Flyers in the first round if they somehow got the play, and that wouldn't have shocked me if the Capitals got eliminated. It's just a dumb thing. But I guess my point is, where are they better? Where are they worse? Like, how do you size up the two opponents here, tail of the tape style?
I think... from the goal mouth out, I think Carolina is – they're not coming for me, by the way. I think Carolina's better in goal right now than Washington is. I think it's minimal, but I think Carolina is better in goal as long as Anderson stays healthy. If Anderson – if Kochetkov's got to play a role in this series, it's probably not a good thing for the Hurricanes. But as long as Anderson stays healthy, I think Carolina – is marginally better in goal. I think their defensive structure is better, but I think Washington's is also way better than it was under either of their previous coaches, whether it's Peter Laviolette, or if we can go all the way back to 19 and Todd Reardon. Oh boy, do I miss that guy.
That makes one of us. Yeah, absolutely.
From our perspective, we miss Todd Reardon.
No doubt.
The most sour person ever. I think you guys obviously have a whole bunch of size, but I think Carolina's speed, if that is the deciding factor in the series, I think Carolina's in good shape. But if they get drawn into a physical battle, that isn't what Carolina wants to do. So they have to avoid that at all costs. And I think Carolina can play a physical game. We did down here beginning of April with 142 penalty minutes in that game. So Carolina can play that game, but that's not their best game. So Carolina's got to make this about skating a little bit more than physicality.
For the Caps fans that listen and go, wait a second, better than Thompson, he was the best goalie in the East. I need to point out that Anderson's numbers in the first round were better. He was unbelievable. 1.59 goals against, 9.36 save percentage. How did he finish the year? I wonder if that was in any way indicative of the opponent, you know, not being able to score puck in the net, or was he rolling at the end of the year and just carried that over? He's been hot.
Last couple of starts, he wasn't great. But if you go back and look at, he had about an 8 or a 9 start stretch. Remember, he missed half the year with a knee injury. And he wasn't great when he first came back. But he had about an 8 or 9 start stretch, starting with a loss to Edmonton, where his save percentage was in the 940 range. And Anderson has proven when he is right, when he is healthy, he is a top 10 goalie in the league, maybe even better than that. The knock on him is that he hasn't been healthy. And I'm there. Freddie just can't stay healthy. So, I mean, Hurricanes just signed him to an extension for next year, which his base salary is $2.75 million. Now, you have to budget for the fact that you're going to need another goalie for half of the season. But if as long as he's available in the playoffs, his career playoff numbers are very good. So I think Anderson is excellent. This is not about whether Logan Thompson isn't good. He's right. Good. There's no doubt about the fact that he's good. I just think Anderson is a slight edge to him, again, as long as he stays healthy. But, again, I will ask politely, stay away from him. Don't run him so he can stay in the crease.
Adam Gold with us here on G&D. So Carolina terrifies me for a million reasons, but mostly you mentioned it. It's the speed. That causes me panic. Grant and I have disagreed about this for years, but when I hear heavy game, I think you lose in the first round. So the Caps finally got out of that first round for the first time since winning the Stanley Cup. But this is the kind of team and matchup that I feel like gives them fits. They're prone to not being able to get the puck out of their zone, and some of the it's not just open ice skating speed. It's not a sprinting contest, but it's they take away space, and that leads to turnovers and leads to scoring chances and the like. Yep. When Carolina is going good, is that kind of what it looks like? And when they're not going good, where might they be vulnerable?
They live when Carolina's playing their game. They live behind your net, and they don't let the defense move the puck out. They're great along the walls. Where you can take advantage of Carolina is if you do find space, if you can get the puck to the other side of the ice. Go east to west. I think Carolina can be had. It took a while this year for Carolina to fully get to their game. So they really didn't get to it until a little bit after Four Nations. They've been playing well. They outscored their problems the first 6 weeks of the season. Then that kind of waned a little bit, and their performance did. But in the second half of the year, especially after Four Nations, they started getting back to their forecheck game a lot more. And when they do that, they make it very difficult on you because it takes a lot of pressure off the fact that, like, for half of the year, it's Pyotr Kochetkov. And he went through stretches where he was great, too. But I don't have any confidence that he could be great now. I think that time is come and gone. So if Kochetkov does play, he might get a game in the series. Carolina wants to keep the puck away from their own net. That's the game they won against the Devils because he wasn't any good early. And it was 3-0 New Jersey inside of 10 minutes. And then all of a sudden Carolina got to their game. The puck rarely got in front of him. And New Jersey didn't score again, or they scored one more goal, but that was it. So Carolina, if they can play their game, remember they won a game with an e-bug goalie in Toronto because they didn't allow the puck anywhere near their net. By the way, we should all fear Florida. Florida's the best team. Florida's the best team in the league by a lot.
No, they're very good.
They are.
I'll worry about them when I get there, though. I got things to tend to.
I got to jump over this alligator pit first. You know what I mean?
Yes. No doubt about it. So here is what I hope for this series. I think we're going to game 7.
I think too.
We're just like 7 years ago, game 7 in Washington. Whether the outcome is the same, I think the outcome ultimately will be the same, but I think we're going to 7 games. But here's what I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear Spencer Carberry, who I'm thrilled for him being a Jack Adams finalists, by the way. I don't want to hear, well, you know, Carolina was taking some liberties that the officials didn't see. Please, coming out of that game in the beginning of April, the 5-1 Carolina win, which had the 142 penalty minutes, to that's where you're going? That was weak. That was very weak sauce from Spencer Carberry. It made me laugh. Well, what is Carolina doing? I didn't understand. Carolina has been one of the more penalized teams in the league. Like, how are they getting away with stuff? They never get away with anything.
Every team gets away with stuff. That's the
but
one.
But he was just like, your team gets, sometimes you just get beat.
Oh, yeah, that was a bad night. And I think they acknowledged that as well in the room after the game. But they ran away. You'll have to forgive them for running away with the division in the conference so early that game just wasn't that important for them.
It's not the first time it's happened in the last several years. Also, are we going to hear at all during these playoffs, this series, that Andrei Svechnikov asked Alexander Ovechkin to fight in Game 3 in 2019?
Yeah, you might want to stay away from Ovi if you're Svechnikov.
Yeah, he should have. He should have, and he should not have agreed to fight. It was a stupid thing for him to do.
He paid the price.
19-year-old kid.
Yeah.
What?
He paid the price. That was tough.
Totally. But nobody wanted to see that.
No, we've had one of those too, by the way. I still remember Jay Beagle, Aaron Asham. If you remember that, where Beagles went up and said, let's go. And I go, no, please.
Yeah,
no.
Beagles may not remember that one all too well.
No, don't do that. You don't have to do that. It doesn't have to be this way. And then he just died on the ice in front of us for a couple of moments. Luckily, he
My favorite part about that whole sequence was after the game, Ovi saying, well, he has to go. Like, no, he didn't.
Well,
fighting happens. I got no problem with it. But you could have just said, hey, it happened. I'm sorry he got hurt. He basically blamed the fight on Svechnikov.
Well, Svechnikov came up to him. He didn't want to go.
Oh, Andre agreed to go. He did not instigate the fight. He did not say, let's go.
I wasn't there. I haven't heard the mic'd up audio. I remember Svechnikov came up to Ovechkin and pretty clearly looked like a guy who was asking for a fight. But I'll take your word for it if you were there with him.
That would have been an interesting time to ask for your first NHL fight.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. I didn't see him. He did not have a fight all year. That would have been that's a very curious time. Look, whatever. It doesn't matter. But it's that after the game over stuff where we try to play little games, I could do without.
That's every team. And it'll happen in this series too, I'm sure, in both directions. I mean, Brendan Moore was saying the same things after the terrible hit from Warren Fogle on TJ Oshie, which, by the way, Trevor Van Riemsdyk was on that Hurricanes team. I'd forgotten about this.
Yeah, he was there.
And I was talking to TVR. He was on the show last week, and I was bringing up that series. And he's like, I was on that team. And I said, oh, that's right. I didn't even think about that. And he completely agreed it was a terrible hit, which I found interesting.
What a terrible hit. You and I talked about it last week. First of all, five Caps played in that series for Washington and one for Carolina, Trevor Van Riemsdyk. Five Hurricanes played in that series for Carolina and one for Washington and Dmitry Orlov. Here's the one caveat I will put on Warren Fogle, only because I know Warren. Warren was too dumb to realize that he was making a bad play. Mm. It was a totally dangerous hit, but he was too dumb to realize it was a dangerous hit. So it wasn't malicious,
right?
Right, but it was a bad hit.
That's funny.
A terrible hit. But yeah, Warren was not too swift.
Last one real quick. It sounds like you've got Canes in seven. Special teams. Yeah. Do I have this right? I looked this up quickly and jotted this down, but now I'm trying to find these numbers again. I feel like the Aho Jarvis power play was awesome in round one, but the penalty kill was also really good. Weren't they perfect on the penalty kill as well? So specials, I feel like, were a strength for them in round one.
The number one penalty killing unit in the league this year, and seven of the power play goals they allowed, we're at 5-on-3. So Carolina basically, look, they've had a great penalty kill since Rod Brindamore became the head coach. It is their signature, but it can be had. And Washington got them in one of the games this year with a couple of power play goals. But that's going to have to continue to be good for Carolina. My belief is you don't have to win special teams, but you can't lose it. So, and I think this probably goes for Washington too, because they're so good 5-on-5 that for them, if they have to feel pretty good about things, if they just break even on special teams. And that's, to me, what Carolina needs to do, is just break even in special teams, and they'll have a good chance to win the series. But the penalty kill was it 15 for 15 against the Devils, plus a shorthanded goal. Jarvis and Aho are super dangerous shorthanded, and that has been a key for them all season long. It has won them games, whether it's the penalty kill or getting the shorthanded goal here and there. It has won them games. The power play, I think Carolina's power play is still no better than a B-. I know they scored 6 out of 19 against the Devils, but I'll give it a B-. If Carolina can be around, if anything close to 20%, like just don't be bad, I think that'll be okay.
If Adam's goal was to come on the air and kick over the same hornet's nest that I did a couple of days ago in Carolina, I didn't think you did, but I am getting a lot of tweets from people.
The fans are riled up.
They're very upset. So I think you accomplished your goal.
Well, how hard is it to rile up fans?
I thought you did well. I thought it was very pleasant and amicable. But yeah, I think you tripped a wire. I don't know what the wire was, but you tripped.
Well, he spoke out loud. I think that's enough.
Caps,
yeah.
Twitter. How is Caps Twitter?
How is it?
Yeah.
Danny refuses to tweet.
Yeah, I don't participate in it as a lifelong Caps fan, Adam, to give you an idea.
I love it for the most part.
I loathe it.
I will say that the most, it's not toxic. Like, Nat's Twitter in this town, in my opinion, is completely toxic. Every 0-for-5 leads to send that guy down. Every hitting coach is the worst. Everybody's the smartest guy in the room and has a blog. I can't stand Nat's Twitter. Commander's Twitter is like factions where they're like sending each other gifts in the mail and making fun of each other. I can't stand that. I think Caps Twitter is mostly a good community, but they do not like outsiders. That's one thing you're going to have to contend with.
Oh, I know. I stopped responding mostly because of Kane's Twitter.
Is it rough?
It's terrible. Everything that happens is a referendum. Like, a team could win 8 in a row or 9 in a row, as they did at one point this year. Lose a game, and it's, we'll never win again. Like, I can't live like that.
It's tough, yeah.
I can't live on that high wire. Like, you're going to lose.
Adam Goldshow in North Carolina, one of my guys who knows his games, and hopefully this is going to be, I don't want to say hopefully a long series, but a competitive series, and the Capitals win. I know you agree with me on that. Thank you for the time.
Thanks, Adam.
You take care, fellas. Anytime.
Be good. Adam Gold, check him out. Good insight from him on the Canes. It's going to be a really brutal next several games. Caps are more physical. Canes are faster.
Yep.
I don't think it's going to be like a bloodbath in terms of the fighting. They don't want
to,
you know, do
that. You can't afford to.
But
I mean, they've taken on that persona of that loathsome jackass, Rod Brindamore, where everything is needle in your face. It's the face wash right after the whistle. It's going up against it, trying to bait you into stuff. They would love for you to get frustrated because they're going to be in your face the entire time with their speed, taking away their space. They're a pain in the butt.
Stay out of the box is my main advice, because on special teams, they're a better group power play penalty kill combination. And I think at even strength, the Caps are going to be able to dictate terms. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Warren Sharp came out with a strength of schedule breakdown in the NFL. The news is not as bad as you might have thought for the Commanders. G&D on the Fan, welcome back. Thank you for making the show part of your day. As Toby just told you, we are giving away Caps playoff tickets all day long on the station and on this show. So your next chance to win is at the end of the hour, coming up in about 20 minutes. You got to be listening to us for the cue to call right here on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. I mentioned that there was a analysis done on strength of schedule by Warren Sharp that dropped today. The easiest schedules going into this NFL season, maybe the reason everyone likes San Francisco so much. I keep asking you, why are people so high on the Niners after a terrible offseason? They have the easiest schedule in the NFL. And the Patriots, who I think just had the best draft and have had a great offseason, are the second easiest schedule in the NFL this year. I sneaky think they could be a wild card team this year. I know that's bullish, but if you're looking for one of those, like Washington this year, Houston the year before.
It happens every single year.
Somebody pops up.
Yeah, where a team's gotten punched in the mouth for a couple of years and everyone thinks, oh, what a bunch of stupid losers who will never win again. The schedule breaks favorably. They've improved. The next thing you know, everybody thinks, you know, they get anointed after a handful of weeks and they hang on for a postseason spot.
The non-division championship teams in the NFC South have a really easy schedule. Danny, Saints, Falcons, third and fourth. That's really good news for Atlanta as they go to new starting quarterback, young starting quarterback, and Michael Penix moving on from Kirk Cousins. Then you got the Buffalo Bills, fifth. They're going to be a juggernaut in the AFC. The question for Buffalo still and always will be, you get past Kansas City in the AFC playoffs or Cincinnati, whoever it is that you're going to run into in those final couple of rounds. Hardest schedules in the NFL. You probably would have thought Washington might pop up here, but the Commanders don't show up in the bottom five, not even close. The bottom five hardest schedules in the NFL this year, the Giants at 32. This is one of the reasons why I said there's just no way Dable and Shane survive this season. That's why I kind of like them not going quarterback at the top of the draft. I know they traded back in and got Jackson Dart. I would not have done that. I would not have given up future picks to do that, but their ownership allowed them to. But I think those two guys are going to be blown out because their schedule's brutal. The Browns, who will have Joe Flacco starting, have the second hardest schedule in the NFL this year, which spells doom for them, I think. The Lions and the Eagles. Here's your good news for Washington. We keep talking about the Commanders having this treacherous schedule. They're 19th. They're basically in the middle of the pack. Now, this all changes a week or two in. I've always had the adage, it's when you play a team, it's not who you play. You might get an injured quarterback and get to play a backup, and all of a sudden the Chiefs are not scary because Mahomes has a 2-week injury or something, and you get to play Carson Wentz or whatever. But for the Lions, maybe the best team in the NFC, the Eagles, probably the best team in the NFC, to both be among the tougher schedules in the sport. The Vikings are fifth hardest. The NFC North plays a really arduous schedule. This is way better news for the Commanders than I would have thought.
Yeah, and I'm fascinated with this because I look at the opponents, and they obviously haven't changed. There's no variable here for Washington. We've known for some time who their opponents are going to be. And when you look at their rotation, just who they happen to have, on their future schedule, 2025, it's playoff caliber team. That's excellent. Green Bay, Kansas City, the Chargers, Minnesota, 14-win team last year. I know there's some variables there with quarterback, but still, it's a pretty damn good roster. The Eagles twice, we already know about. Detroit, Denver, a team that's on the rise, jumped up and beat some people last year. Seattle, perennially around 9 or 10 wins. I don't see easy there. So maybe you get the benefit of the Giants a couple times, who for whatever reason, no matter how good or bad they are, it's always ugly as hell playing Washington. But I'd be fascinated for Warren Sharp as to how we got that ranking instead of what looks to me like more difficult than that.
So I don't think it's easy as much. I mean, they're 13th hardest is another way to look at it.
Right.
19th of 32 teams in terms of strength of schedule. So it's certainly not easy. I don't think anyone's acknowledging that. It's closer to bad than good. But it's just more middling than I would have anticipated.
Right.
And again, I go back to maybe the most encouraging thing is the Eagles, the Lions, two of the powerhouses in the NFC that almost certainly are going to be the teams that you're vying against for supremacy in the conference if you're really good again. And Eric Edholm, who joins us today at 5 for NFL.com, just did a power ranking where he's got Washington number 6 in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So if they are that kind of team, if they're that quality, then Detroit and Philly are going to matter a lot. And for those teams to have some of the hardest schedules, the NFC North is probably the best division in the NFC, right?
You'd say so.
And it may be in all of football. You got Minnesota, Green Bay, and Detroit. All three of those teams are considered to have some of the hardest schedules in the conference because of the division that they're playing.
Yeah, Chicago wasn't bad because of a talent problem last year, you would say, right? And you had a pretty good offensive mind to that staff. in terms of Ben Johnson pairing him with Caleb Williams and company, they're not pushovers. I mean, again, they had Washington dead to rights until the Hail Mary happened, and then that kind of broke them and sent them into a tailspin, but that wasn't a bad club last year.
You can listen to the show all over the DMV on 106.7 The Fan, our flagship. Of course, take us with you wherever you go. The audio is available coast to coast on the Odyssey app. It's free wherever you are. And you can watch us on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream as well. I just got a comment here from Todd who said, who starts the most games for the Giants? He's talking Russ, Jameis, or Jackson Dart this football season. I would go with Russ Wilson. I think he's going to get the first nod. They'll bench him at some point. My guess is they don't go to Jameis when they do. Like, he'll be the backup week in and week out. But when they move on from Russ, they're going to be really bad. They'll be 2-7 or 3-8 or something. And then maybe you roll with Dart for the final six or so games. If Jameis starts a few games, it's because Russ is hurt. But I think they go Wilson, maybe a game of Jameis or two, and then Dart. But I think Wilson will lead the team in starts.
Yeah, I think of a situation like this, and when anybody's fighting for their job or trying to fend off the wolves at the door, whatever analogy you want to use, you only have a couple levers you can pull to excite people, right? Remember when Bruce Allen was a disaster and the team started really bad? So it's like, you know what the big problem is? It was Jay Gruden. I've got to fire Jay Gruden after 5 weeks. The damage is already done. You're not really doing anything, but you're buying yourself some time. That's a move that Daboll or Shane can make, right? Is to switch a quarterback. So they're going to save it. But so to me, I bet you Russ plays the most, but it's not by a lot. I bet you it's one of those like Washington type seasons where one guy plays eight, one guy plays six, one guy plays five, and it's Kyle Allen for some reason. You know what I mean? It's something like that.
Some notes on the Commanders schedule from Warren Sharp at Sharp Football. Last year, the Commanders played the number one easiest schedule in the NFL. This is a point I was making at times throughout the season as things were going so well. 12 games against teams that did not make the playoffs, the most in the National Football League. They went 11-1 in those games, 92% win rate in their games against non-playoff teams. They were 1-4 against teams that made the playoffs, which is revealing.
Yeah, one win against Philly, right? That comeback.
8-4 in one score games. That doesn't always carry over. You know, see the Vikings year over year over the last several seasons where it's like a undulation between winning and losing those games. He says this year they have the number two biggest increase in schedule difficulty of any team. So while they went just to 19th, it's still a significant jump for them. You know, within the NFC North, they go from playing all four teams last year to only playing the Bears this year. Excuse me. They go from playing the Bears last year to all four teams this year, the hardest division in the conference. They've got Detroit, Green Bay, and Minnesota as well. In the AFC North, last year they played the whole division. They have no games this year. AFC South, they got the Titans last year. They do not play anybody from the division this year. In the West, they go from playing Arizona to Seattle, which will be harder. And the big difference, I think, in terms of strength of schedule, AFC West, they didn't have a single game last year. This year, they're playing a Chiefs team that made the playoffs, a Chargers team that made the playoffs, a Broncos team that made the playoffs, and a Raiders team that's going to be a lot better with Pete Carroll and bringing in a veteran quarterback. So I think that's where maybe some of the big changes are for Washington. We'll get you our double play next. And remember, at the end of our upcoming segment here at the final of the hour, we are going to be giving away another pair of tickets to tomorrow's Caps-Canes Game 1. But you've got to be listening to The Fan. Guys, what's up? It's Grant and Danny, and it is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealers. Today, we are giving away Caps tickets at the end of this segment.
So you got to be listening for that. Here's my double play, GP. We celebrated the wife's birthday. So happy birthday, Mrs. Randy Duye. It was a wonderful birthday weekend, as far as I know, for the lady wife. She didn't tell me anything was bad, that I think I did a pretty nice job.
Worked out well for you, yeah, I'd say.
I think we did well. The key is, of course, to involve the children in as many ways as possible for it. So that's kind of what ended up happening is kind of the central. My oldest nicknamed all the boys, because nothing but boys in the house, right? So it's me and now the sitcom My Three Sons. He nicknamed us the Goobers. So he signed, like, you know, happy birthday, mom, like blah, 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 from the Goobers, which I think has kind of gone a long way. Like, it wasn't me saying that. It was him saying that. So now that felt like it was pretty good. We're pretty pleased.
Okay.
Yeah.
You liked that.
We navigated. I liked it.
That nickname's not going away then if Dad liked it so much.
The Goobers, right? So it doesn't sound as malicious if I say it to him. That's pretty much the theme.
I'm considering waddling over to Nats Park tonight for a little baseball. Can I get a weather update, please? Ooh. Toby Altizer, you'll have to fill in for show meteorologist Ryan Clary, who is, I believe, working from the home office today.
Mm-hmm. Very corporate.
He's very DC of him. He has decided not to come across the 14th Street Bridge to go to work today. So he'll be at the home office. So, Tobes, what do we got for weather tonight? Will we have a baseball game?
So we look good for first pitch. We look like there's going to be no problem. We got under 40% chance of precipitation around first pitch. Now, it gets a little dicey. We need a quick ball game tonight, Grant. We need a under 2.5 hour affair, because it's looking like in the 9 o'clock hour that thunderstorms are going to roll in. Not just rain, which you can maybe play through if it's a light enough rain, but thunderstorms around 9 o'clock. So hopefully this is a quick affair. They should be able to get the game started. I don't know if they'll be able to fully finish it, though.
So that's a sticky wicket for me, because that means your boy's getting wet after post game tonight. I got post game at Nats Park, so I'll be in the red box when you guys leave the ballpark. If you want to come by and say what's up. But that means I'm going back over to Half Street and waddling down all the way to our studio in the rain, possibly. This is not good. No rain jacket for your guy. Nats, sneaky winners of 2 in a row, for the record. 3 of their last 4. They got the series finale against the Phillies and then took the Saturday and Sunday games, outscoring Philadelphia 15-7 in the process at Great American Ballpark. But don't look now. Mackenzie Gore, 11 more strikeouts than anybody else in the big leagues. 9 more punchies yesterday.
Worked around 4 walks.
And that's not even, that's completely misleading in my opinion, because a couple of those, maybe 3 of those, came when it was pouring rain and he was trying to get out of a jam, falling on the mound. But I thought he was really good again. Efficiency wasn't there like it has been, but that's the name of the game in 2025 in Major League Baseball. You're going to have some 5-inning outings. But C.J. Abrams has been great. Did you hear Ian Desmond on any of the broadcasts this weekend?
I did not hear much. No, I was driving around at one point going, like, who's this third voice? This is a totally different sound.
On television. He was on the TV.
I thought he was on radio.
No. Ian Desmond was with Bob all week.
Then I botched that. I got my wires crossed.
I don't think there was a third voice on radio, unless I don't know about it. But maybe it was maybe there was a mystery guest. I don't know. You might have heard
By the way, very easy to be crossfired. Kids conversations to and from, giving people rides.
No, Desmond was on the TV call with Carp. So he does not have the broadcasting chops of, frankly, anyone who's done many broadcasts. Like, very low energy, and he just does not emote or enunciate. There's just no mic skill. Having said that, it sounds like I'm bashing him. I'm not at all. I thought he was excellent. Like, his points, the things he said, the things he brought up, the amount of times I learned from something he said, or especially as a hitter.
He was a sharp, thoughtful dude,
into at-bats. I thought he was sensational. Now, he'd have to work at it from a broadcast standpoint. You know, Franny's been doing games for years and years, so there's just some natural chops there. But I thought Desmond was really, really insightful, which I want out of my commentator. I thought he was a welcome addition. That was cool.
No, that is neat. Yeah, we got a chance to talk to him at the Nats Gala right before the season started as well. Just, it's neat that he's kind of back making the rounds again.
He does not look like Ian Desmond at all.
No.
He has long, white dreadlocks.
Yeah, and there's a lot of salt in the beard.
It's only salt on his head, and it's mostly salt on the beard.
Uh-huh.
He's one of those guys that's aged like 15 years since I saw him a couple years ago. Nicest dude ever. One of the great guys in the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. As you said, was always good to chop it up with the media. Won good guy awards many times over. But I'm an Ian Desmond guy, so it was just cool to have him back in the fold.
Yeah, always very gracious.
All right, let's give away some Caps tickets right now, as promised. Caller number 9 at 800-636-1067. You're going to win a pair of tickets to the Round 2 Game 1 tilt tomorrow night with the Hurricanes at Cap One Arena, 7 o'clock puck drop. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com. Congrats to whoever wins those tickets. Your next chance to do so in 1 hour. Our Beltway Blitz is next.